You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and as the newest member of the WCPT family, broadcast not only all across Wisconsin, but now Chicago and beyond. We are so excited. Not to mention the podcast and YouTube and socials and all of the ways that you get your news and entertainment. I am absolutely thrilled to be here with you right now and every Saturday right here. And over the next year or so, things I think are going to get pretty exciting. We're going to have a lot to talk about. For example, I don't know if you were paying attention last week when in a deep red Tennessee district that Donald Trump won by 22 points in a special election, Democrat Afton Bain closed that gap to single digits. And that in itself is really a victory. And in suburban Atlanta, 21-year-old Akbar Ali won his bid to serve in the Georgia State Legislature, making him the youngest sitting person in the Georgia State Legislature. Gen Z! After Zohran Mamdani a few weeks ago in New York and Abigail Spanberger and Mikey Sherrill, it sure feels like change is in the air. Like you can almost smell it, can't you? But to be honest, it's been brewing for a while where I am up north here in Wisconsin. Things got really kind of weird here about 15 years ago when a Republican trifecta crushed workers' rights and started dismantling the education system. But possibly the most insidious thing they did was gerrymandering the maps. They stacked the deck in their favor. They drew voting districts that disproportionately favored their party, and they continue to reap those rewards to this day. But, and remember, this is Wisconsin, so it takes a little while to get there, kind of like driving to Door County. In 2018, Wisconsin Democrats won every single statewide race. I'm talking about governor, attorney general, all of them. And Democrats also won the popular vote for the state legislature by over 200,000 votes. But yet, because of gerrymandering, Republicans kept a supermajority in the state assembly. And I'm going to say that again because it's really striking. Democrats won the vote handily, but still ended up suffering a supermajority in the assembly. And before you think this is just a Wisconsin problem, or just a Republican problem, or just a problem that doesn't affect your life, let me be clear. This is the issue that determines whether your vote actually matters. Because if politicians get to pick their voters instead of voters picking their politicians, that is not a democracy, my friends. So today, I'm so excited to be joined by Mark Gaber. He is an attorney who's been fighting gerrymandering cases all across the country, including and especially Wisconsin. And he's going to help us understand how we got here, why it's gotten so much worse, and whether there's any way out of this mess. We're going to talk about the gerrymandering nightmare that Wisconsin is just waking up from, the absolute chaos happening right now in Texas, California, even Indiana, and maybe Illinois, we'll see, and the quiet, evolving situation across the country as we are facing the repercussions of years of gerrymandering. And finally, we're going to ask the ultimate question, and Mark's ready for this one, but you're not going to get to it until the end of the episode. Is it possible to create a system that's actually gerrymander-proof? Or are we just stuck with whoever has power rigging the game? So, Mark, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, especially for our first big Chicago show. Like, this is a big deal.
Yes. Yeah. It's very exciting.
All right, so let's start with just basics. I think sometimes people get really confused about just the definition of gerrymandering and why somebody who lives in Green Bay or somebody who lives in Evanston should care that their legislative district looks like a dragon or a garden hose.
Well, if you care about any of the laws or policies that are enacted by the legislature or by Congress, then you have to care about how the districts are drawn, because there's a direct line between the lines on the map and the laws that get enacted. Because if the map is drawn in a way to skew it so that it doesn't comport with how the voters in a state wish to be have their voices heard, and doesn't comport with the policies they want, then the party that didn't get as many votes, as you said, might be the one that's making those decisions. And that's where that's where democracy goes awry, when there's not a feedback between what the voters think and the people who are elected. And that's the essential problem of gerrymandering. And it's really sort of like the central problem in making sure that democracy works.
Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, gerrymandering was just like a thing we learned about in history class, you know, Elbridge Gerry and his salamander shape. Right. But somewhere along the line, it went from a quirky little political trick to basically rigging our democracy. What happened along the way?
Well, it's been a problem, as you said, for a long time. The Elbridge Gerry story, who's the governor of Massachusetts back in like the late 1700s or early 1800s. And, he drew this ridiculous district and it got its name from that. So it's been a problem for a long time. But I think it has worsened in recent years and in recent decades, in large part because of the advance in technology. Because now, whereas before, Governor Gerry was looking at, just maybe he had some like results from a town or a county he could look at and decide, oh, we want that town in, we want that county out, we want, bring these, it was at that sort of level. Now with computers, you can micro-target people, and you're doing it at the census block level rather than at the, city level, and you have immense big data that's combined together, even to make predictions. So I just litigated this case in Texas about the Texas congressional gerrymander, and the map drawer testified that the National Republican Redistricting Trust has a proprietary database where they make predictions of how people, like within a census block, are voting. And they don't have, when they don't even have their registration information, they're combining information about what primaries did you vote in and how many did you vote early. And then they make an assumption about those voters based on that. And so that kind of micro targeting is just not something that was available to legislatures in, even in the like earliest of the 2000s. It's really sort of 2010 forward where we've seen this extreme level of effort to micro-target voters for, picking when politicians are picking which voters they want voting for them.
I am so excited to talk to you about Texas, and we're going to do that later in our conversation. But, I have this vision in my head of Scott Walker and his cronies sitting around a table looking at all of this data. Like, you mentioned a few pieces of data, but what do they use, and how precise have they been able to get?
So in Wisconsin, you actually described basically what happened. it was three folks who were in a room together, and they came up with a series of maps and a series of sort of labels for them. So that one of them was Joe Hendrick is one of the people who was involved. He's a former, he was actually my state representative.
Oh, really?
Senator Reininger, Wisconsin, which is up in the north. And he was my representative from like the late, or I think from 1994, maybe on to 2000. In the 4th of July parade, he'd always have, I thought it was kind of abusive, he would have his little dog walking through a lap pool like behind him in his float. It was a very odd. But anyways, he became like the Republican map drawer after Scott Walker was elected. And he had these maps, and they were labeled like Joe Assertive, Joe Aggressive. And it was based on how extreme the Republican advantage would be in those maps. And so they use election result. They go back in time and look at like 10 years of election results. And sometimes voter registration, Wisconsin, not so much because you don't register by party, but primarily election result data. And they compile it from all the different elections and then see how can they fiddle with the lines to maximize the advantage by cracking, in this instance, cracking apart Democratic voters, and largely in cities and towns across Wisconsin and Madison and Milwaukee, and then, you know, sort of submerge them in districts that span out into rural areas so that it's at least like 55% Republican. And then on the flip side of that, they would draw, you know, a bunch of districts centered in Madison and Milwaukee that just sort of packed everyone tightly in those districts to have as few districts as possible that the Democrats would win, no matter the election result. And they actually did, durability testing, they called it,
wow,
to see how durable their gerrymander would be and how low the Republican vote percentage could get while still maintaining a majority in the Assembly and in the Senate in Wisconsin. And it was like a very precise system they had. Now, by today's standards, it looks a little imprecise.
Right.
But it worked. It worked for the decade. And then they brought in only the Republican members, made them sign non-disclosure agreements into a private law firm. So, like, here's the, you have the idea that a bill becomes a law by we go to the legislature and they talk to each other and they debate and they have committees and the public comes and testifies. And no, they drew the map behind closed doors in 2011 and brought in Republican legislators, made them sign NDAs at a private law firm and showed them like the district that they were in, but none of the other districts, and then showed none of the, you know, really none of the minority members or any of the Democrats what that map would look like. And it, as you said, it resulted, you know, until 2024 in a map where like the Republicans would never get below 60. I think the lowest they got was like 62 seats, 63 seats out of 99 in the mm-hmm. Assembly. And I think they were at 2/3 in the state Senate until 2024.
Yeah, it has been really unbalanced.
Yes.
The unbalance because of the maps. And we're going to talk more about Wisconsin. But before we get to that, tell me about the technology. You mentioned that the technology that they used back then was really nothing compared to what they use now. What do they use now?
Yeah, there's a software that you do mapping in, and you can import into it political data. You can import in election data. There's actually open source ones on the internet that you can see this if you want. A great one is Dave's Redistricting app. Which has actually been great for kind of as a counterbalance to this by giving the public the same access and letting them, you know, shine a light on gerrymandering as it happened in this last cycle. But you can display all of the election results in whatever, you know, sort of reformulated in the new district you've drawn, like how a candidate would have done, say, in the last presidential election in this new district. And you can, it changes with each census block that you move, you can see how that would change.
So you can play with this data. You yourself can play with this data from home.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's very fun. So I would encourage mapping is just great. Maps are fun. And it's a great resource to check out and see. And it's also a sort of a library of all of the redistricting maps across the country that you can look at.
That's fascinating.
You can test it out for yourself and see just how it is that they can manipulate the map.
And how do people find this? I mean, in case there are any nerdy people out there who are like, I want to look at my neighborhood.
I think the website is davesredistricting.org.
Fascinating. All right, let's talk more about this. Let's talk about whether Republicans do it as well. I mean, sorry, Democrats, the other side, you know, those guys. And let's talk more about Wisconsin when we come back from the short break. I am talking with Mark Gaber. He is the Senior Director of Redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, streaming on the Civic Media app all across Wisconsin and now in Chicago on AM 820 WCPT Chicago's Progressive Talk.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am talking with Mark Gaber. He is the Senior Director of Redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. In our last segment, we got some of the basics and history of gerrymandering. We compared Wisconsin and Illinois politics a little bit. We talked a little bit about the technology, the fascinating technology that's available right now to make gerrymandering really precise. But Mark, I really want to talk to you about Wisconsin.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, it's our home state and everything. But you were pivotal in getting fair maps in Wisconsin. Tell us the story.
Well, the organization I work for, CLC, has really for over a decade been trying to get fair maps in Wisconsin. We brought the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court said no. The federal courts are not going to decide whether it's legal for states to discriminate on the basis of people's political viewpoint. We could have a whole hour about how ridiculous that notion is, that we're just not going to enforce the Constitution for one area of law, but whatever.
And it continues to pop up. I just heard that in Indiana today. We'll talk about Indiana later too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but ultimately what happened is, you know, we took a look at the map in 2023, I think it was. And one thing that I noticed in looking at Wisconsin's maps were that the assembly and Senate districts were, and this is, it's going to get a little technical, were non-contiguous. And what that means is that districts are supposed to, when you're supposed to be able to take a pencil on the map and not lift the pencil as you stay within a district, right? Mm-hmm. And, or if you're driving, you're not supposed to have to drive through another district to get to another piece of the district, right?
Right.
And so when you open up Wisconsin's maps, I was like, what on earth is, why does it look like this? This can't be what the map is supposed to look like. And the Wisconsin Constitution, since 1848, has said that the legislative districts were supposed to be composed of contiguous territory. And so in addition to suing that it was a partisan gerrymander, which it was, that was, you know, sort of the primary problem with the map.
And everybody knew it. Everybody knew it was a partisan gerrymander.
Yeah, that was not even really, I mean, you couldn't contest that. Mm-hmm. And so we sued over this contiguity issue. And it is what, and it was a very straightforward, simple thing. I mean, it just, the Constitution says the districts are to be contiguous. They're not. And the Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, after Justice Janet Protasiewicz was elected to the court, granted our petition, heard the case in November of 2023. We had oral argument. I was sort of the lead arguer on behalf of the petitioners in that case. And the legislature comically actually tried to argue that, please go look at these districts when you're listening to this.
They tried
to argue that they were contiguous. And they came up with this really bizarre definition that, like, if the town was, we stack the towns and part of the town's touching part of the town that's in another district, they're contiguous. I was like, props to you, opposing counsel, for, like, trying, but no, just look at them. So there was this very funny moment where Justice Ann Mulsh Bradley, who's now retired and was replaced by Justice Susan Crawford, was saying, like, all, you know, I've looked at all these dictionaries and they all say that it means touching. And so why doesn't it mean touching? And my opposing counsel was arguing and said, well, if that's where you're at. And Justice Bradley was like, well, that's the meaning of the word. I'm not there. That's just what it means. And but they persisted. They tried. But the court got it right in a 4-3 decision, struck down those maps, ended the Wisconsin gerrymander as a result. And with the writing clear on the wall, the assembly actually ended up passing a compromise map, which was the map that Governor Evers had put forward in the litigation. And we saw in the 2024 election a fair result in the legislative maps for the first time since 2010 in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where you could look at the votes that were cast and think that bears some relation to the actual results in the state assembly and the state Senate. And I think the Democrats ended up picking like something, maybe 10 or more state assembly seats and several state Senate seats. And so, you know, Wisconsin is obviously like one of the closest states in the nation. It may be the closest state in the nation politically, and it should have a legislature that reflects that balance. And it does now.
And this all didn't just happen in Wisconsin. This was a nationally organized project.
Yes.
Called Red Map.
Yes, exactly.
Tell us about Red Map and how strategic it was. This was not a secret, Red Map.
It was not a secret. Very strategic. The Republicans swept state legislature. I think more than like 1,000 Democrats lost their seats in state legislatures in Obama's first midterm election in 2010. And, you know, that when that happens for your party and that lines up with when the census occurs, that's a very fortuitous thing because you now have the opportunity to redraw the maps to solidify those gains you just got that probably you would lose, you know, a big chunk of them when the voters swing back in the next election.
Right.
And so the Republicans seized on that opportunity. And through this red map program sort of made sure that across the country they were taking advantage of, you know, anywhere they could to gerrymander. And we saw it all over the place, Ohio, Florida, you know, states across the South, Wisconsin, you know, Minnesota, Michigan was really bad for a long time in terms of mm-hmm. gerrymandering. It's fixed now because of a citizen initiative there. But just all across the country we saw just a huge Republican redistricting, you know, gerrymandering effort. And, you know, I sound like I'm attacking Republicans, but like they're the ones who had the power at that time. On the flip side, Democrats, you know, Illinois, I welcome Illinois to I'm sorry to say that, you know, if you take a look at the for example, the congressional map today in Illinois, I don't think any reasonable person would say that that is a fairly constructed map and is representing the viewpoints of folks of Illinois. But at the same time, you can understand why states, you know, seeing the bad gerrymandering that's happening all across the country, you kind of understand why they respond. So.
And we are definitely going to talk about that in our next segment. So friends, stay tuned. I am talking with Mark Gaber. He is the Senior Director of Redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. As I said, we're going to talk about Texas, California, Indiana, and Illinois. What's the response going to be there? So stay tuned. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show now in Chicago on AM 820 WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk, and streaming on the Civic Media app and the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm talking with Mark Gaber, the Senior Director of Redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. We're talking about gerrymandering, what it is, what has it done to us, and what's going on right now all across the country. If you've missed any part of this conversation, you can always find it on our podcast. It's on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. And definitely check out our video on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. We dressed up for this, so I do recommend the video version. Mark looks great. And I just have to point out that I am wearing a Green Bay Packers sweatshirt.
Oh, welcome, Illinois.
Mark is not actually a football fan, but it is Packer Bear weekend at Lambeau, which is the greatest, most longstanding, amazing rivalry. So I just couldn't resist because it's our first weekend in Chicago.
Very exciting. Well, I would be a Packer fan. Sorry to Bears fans. I am from Wisconsin, so I have to be. And when they're about to win the Super Bowl, it's when I get involved and watch. And I know the rules from that video game that we all played growing up. So.
Madden?
Yeah.
They just made, this is totally off topic.
Hopefully none have changed because that's like locked in 1994.
No, they're putting all the Madden symbols on the actual live broadcasts now. This is a new thing. They did that on Thanksgiving. That was kind of fun to watch. Yeah. But all right. Mark may not be a football expert, but he is definitely a gerrymandering expert. So let's bring it into the thing that we really care about, which is what's going on right now. When I heard about what was happening in Texas, and the quote was, Donald Trump wants more districts out of Texas, I thought to myself, yeah, right. But then they did it. This has actually happened.
Yes, yes.
It's not an Onion headline? Like, how is this real life? How bad is the Texas gerrymander, Mark?
It's really bad. And I have to tell you, I was in a trial in El Paso when the news broke. We were in trial suing over the existing map, the one that they had passed in 2021. We were finally gotten to our trial. We were in like week 3.5 of it. And the New York Times broke this headline saying that Trump demands 5 new seats in Texas. I was like, oh my God, when's this going to end? And, you know, I think the popular narrative about Texas and its gerrymandering was that this was a partisan thing to gain seats for Republicans. Mm-hmm. I almost fell out of my chair when a letter was released from the U.S. Department of Justice, Trump's Department of Justice, to Texas, demanding that they redraw the map on account of the racial composition of the districts. They objected in writing that the districts combined Black and Latino voters together, and they think that is unconstitutional state of affairs. And so that they said Texas should go based on this racial data and redraw the map. And so I thought, oh my gosh, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I can't believe this is what they're saying. Because if you followed redistricting law at all, what you know is that the US Supreme Court has said, okay, we're not gonna get involved when you do a partisan gerrymander. The one thing you can't do, states, is discriminate on account of race. Mm-hmm. And so Trump's crack Department of Justice lawyers said, hey, let's send a letter about the racial makeup of the districts. And then Governor Abbott seized on that, and so did the legislature. And if you just like watch the clips of the legislature in Texas, it was like every other word was this district is 47.6% Black. Now, it was like everything they did was about race, and it was just wild to watch. And so we sued, and a bunch of groups, everyone that was in the existing lawsuit, just supplemented their complaints and filed a new action. And we told the court, like, we'll be here tomorrow, like, whatever day you, we'll be here in 48 hours. Like, if you have a hearing in 3 days from now, we'll be there. We just need to get our witnesses to El Paso because we saw the clock. We're racing against the clock to get a decision, you know, before the candidate filing ends, which ends next week. And so we put on a 2-week hearing with 23 witnesses and thousands of exhibits. And this was like many all-nighters were involved in preparing this. And we won. We won a 2-1 decision. A federal judge appointed by President Trump wrote the decision and found that Texas had racially gerrymandered in violation of the Constitution and ordered them to use the map that had existed, you know, since 2021. And we're waiting right now to hear word from the U.S. In fact, I have my phone next to me when my email opens to see if the U.S. Supreme Court's going to email. And the state requested an emergency stay. And so we'll find out, you know, on the shadow docket of the U.S. Supreme Court, whether or not that our trial victory will stand for this next election.
You said earlier, though, and we know this, that the Supreme Court has not necessarily ruled in a constitutional manner in the past on gerrymandering. So would you be surprised in the future or now if they be surprised?
Nothing will surprise me anymore with the U.S. Supreme Court. But what I will say is there's a movement to get rid of the Voting Rights Act. And the basis of that movement is this view that race should not be used in redistricting. Now, I think there is, you know, decades of evidence in history to show why the Voting Rights Act is essential and why when there's racial discrimination in the composition of the districts, fixing that by being aware of the racial composition is, you know, a remedy that we have all in all kinds of areas of law. And so those protections are very important, but there is a concerted effort to undermine it. There's a case that the U.S. Supreme Court heard out of Louisiana in October, and we're waiting on a decision there. And the whole impetus of it is, well, we shouldn't be using the way to end discrimination on account of race is to stop discriminating on account of race. Don't consider race. And so here comes in Texas shouting about how Hispanic voters supported Trump and like, we're going to redraw these Hispanic Republicans. So just shouting about race. And so it's really hard for the U.S. Supreme Court to, on the one hand, be saying the VRA is too race focused and then say, oh, but Texas Republicans, you got like drunk on, you know, some Hispanic support you got. And so you've redrawn your map on that basis. I don't know how they do both things.
Somehow they do magically do both things in their head, though, which is why you wouldn't be surprised. And which is why we need California to react. And I think a lot of folks have really mixed feelings because California, in reaction to Texas, has an independent redistricting commission, but they set that aside. What are your thoughts about what happened subsequently in California?
Well, it's not at all surprising that would be the result. And I think perhaps it was surprising to the president and his political allies because I saw interviews where they said, oh, they're like laughing of California. They have a commission. They have to change their constitution. They can't respond. These other states, Virginia has a commission. Like they sort of calculated that they alone would be able to do this. And the Governor Newsom seized the, you know, the issue and quickly proposed this constitutional amendment to sort of take a break from the independent commission's map for the next three election cycles for Congress, and to propose a map to the voters. And it, you know, passed by like, I think over 60% of the vote, I think. Mm-hmm. And it really mobilized a lot of turnout. You know, I believe strongly in fair redistricting. I think that everyone, every state in the country should have a fairly drawn map that represents them. The end result, by the way, would be no different than the current composition of Congress. If just all the states stopped gerrymandering, mm-hmm. you'd both get, basically the same close result. But you would have districts where members of Congress would like actually care about things like aside from partisanship and maybe what a mayor wants for a city, or, you know, like a flood relief, or you'd have some sensible representation. But it's not at all surprising that California reacted. And I think, but it did take, I think, Republicans by surprise. And depending on what happens in the U.S. Supreme Court with my Texas case, they could find themselves on the losing end of this war they started. And hopefully that could lead to some national reform.
It feels a little bit like the bad guys are in a corner going, hey, we've really got you now. Yeah. And the good guys are like, yes, but we've got kryptonite or whatever. Like they know what to do next. And, you know, I think that takes us to Indiana, which currently has, I believe, 9 congressional districts, and 2 of them are held by Democrats. But the plan is to redraw the map so that all 9 of them are held by Republicans. And as somebody who, like, I'm an OBGYN doctor, mm-hmm. I have friends and colleagues in Indiana. Everybody's not a Republican. Some of them are OBGYN doctors, and some of them, I can tell you, are even abortion providers. So this is not who Indiana is, but this is what's happening right now.
Yeah, Indiana is an interesting story right now. So they've not folded. So Missouri and Texas and North Carolina are the 3 states that have responded to President Trump's demands. As I said, Texas for racial reasons. But Indiana Senate Republicans, at least enough of them so far, have said no. And there's an interesting, you know, I would love to explore it more. I'm sure that there's something there related to former Vice President Pence.
Oh, right. You know,
who was threatened to be hanged by the people that have now been pardoned.
Yes.
For January 6th. He was the governor of Indiana, and I think probably holds a good deal of sway there. And I think it's interesting that it's Indiana where the Senate Republicans there are putting up a bit of a fight. And so far, there are not the votes. The House is proceeding forward with this proposed map that, as you said, creates 9 Republican districts. Although, question in light of the Tennessee results, whether there might be some second thoughts about whether some of those districts, I mean, given the swing, it's possible, I suppose, you could see a result that actually has more than 2 Democrats in the Indiana congressional delegation if they do a dummy mander. But I think what's also sad in this story is that there have been just a large number of swatting efforts at members of the Senate Republican caucus in Indiana who have put up resistance. There have been bomb threats called in to these members for resisting the call to gerrymander the state. And I think we'll know pretty soon whether, I can't imagine that that's going to aid in the effort to gerrymander, to be calling in bomb threat. I mean, hopefully the steel remains to resist.
It really does feel like the times are changing with the Tennessee election, with people starting to recognize this ugliness and know that they have to step up. And one person who has really stepped up is Governor Pritzker, who has said in the background, we're going to wait and see what Indiana mm-hmm. does, and then we'll make a decision about Illinois. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I'm happy that as the Fair Maps person, I'm Illinois is not, as I said, Illinois is not coming into this fight with a terribly fair map. But so I'm happy that there's a bit of a pause, and we'll see if this other state our neighboring state makes its map unfair. So it's, you know, I think that that is good that Indiana hasn't, or that Illinois hasn't just jumped head first into just doing it. Because the map, you know, as it looks a little bizarre. But I think, again, it's not, it is not surprising that that would be his response. And I think there's calls out to the governor of Maryland and, you know, governors of other states where the Democrats have this potential. Virginia is in the midst of voting to get rid of its commission. And so what I would hope to see is a national solution.
It sure does feel like a chess match. And I love how you identified yourself as the Fair Maps guy. But I would identify you as Mark Gaver, the Senior Director of Redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. We have been talking about gerrymandering, and we have one more segment coming up. So when we do return here in just a short minute, we will talk about the future of gerrymandering, hopefully the future of Fair Maps. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on Civic Media all across Wisconsin, as well as WCPT AM 820 in Chicago, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Mark Gaber, the Fair Maps guy, the Senior Director of Redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. We've been talking all about gerrymandering, what it is, how it's affecting our democracy, what's going on now, and Mark, where do we go from here? Is it possible to have a national solution to gerrymandering?
Well, it's certainly possible. It's possible to do it for Congress. So Congress has the power to regulate the drawing of district lines. So they can pass a law. There's been several proposals sort of repeatedly for the past decade to both require independent redistricting commissions across the states for congressional maps and to put in standards to ensure that they're, you know, that they comply with the Voting Rights Act, they're not discriminating for racial reasons, and that they're not extreme partisan gerrymanders. And so our members of Congress could solve this problem if they wished. And they've not done it so far, and that's why we've seen this kind of patchwork state-by-state solution. I just won a big case in Utah about its congressional map and putting back in place a voter-passed initiative to require fair maps. And so we have this kind of patchwork process, but we should solve this at a nationwide level. And one hope that I have from, you know, it's as the Fair Maps guys, is that it's sort of, this was kind of a depressing thing to have happen in the middle of the census period, the 10-year census period, to see this mid-decade redistricting push. But I think the fact that it has perhaps backfired gives some hope that maybe, you know, both parties could see, rather than just one of the parties pushing for this, that ending this, you know, permanently with national legislation is the way to go. That it doesn't always work as you think it will, and sometimes perhaps it backfires. And I think that's the best thing that could happen in terms of getting a national solution.
I think that is something that so many of us would like to see, especially the citizens. You mentioned earlier, Michigan was a citizen initiative. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin had a huge citizen initiative to fix the problem. It would be so exciting to see things get fixed. But one of the things that I hear, a common question from people is, why could AI do this? Could AI look at our maps and draw, you know, I mean, AI does everything. Why can't it draw our maps?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm not there. I think that people are well-meaning people, I think, are needed in the process of determining what are communities of interest. Because, like, it doesn't all boil down to the shape of the district. You know, our cities and our towns and our counties aren't perfect squares. Our, like, local neighborhoods and communities aren't. And so what matters is not really what does the district look like, although sometimes that can be an indication of things going awry. What matters instead is putting together people who have shared interests. And that is not really something that I think AI is equipped to do. I think that well-intentioned people should be involved in making those decisions, and it should be transparent. The public should have a role in the process. They should have input. The people who are drawing the lines should not be the people who will then run under those lines. It should be people who don't have that conflict of interest. So that's why I support taking the legislature out of the picture entirely and just having these independent commissions of citizens. Michigan is a perfect example. It went from one of the worst gerrymandered legislative maps to one of the fairest set of maps in the country, and a process that anyone who, you know, has watched School Rock growing up would just applaud at how wonderful this process was in bringing the public in, traversing the state, and making sure that they had the viewpoints of everyone. That's what we want to see. We want to see that replicated across the country. And as I said, if you do that, then the partisanship sort of falls away, because we then just reflect the country. And our country is a politically divided country. And so Congress would end up looking basically the same. It just would have districts that, you know, voters, Republicans in Illinois, Democrats in Texas, Democrats in Georgia, Republicans in Oregon would all be fairly represented. And I don't know why we can't just all join hands across the country and decide that that's better.
But in your opinion, is Michigan the best solution? Or is there something out there that's a better model?
In my opinion, the Michigan Commission is the best model because it puts together that truly independent commission that's made of citizens. I mean, they have like a lottery of like people apply and they put them in a lottery and just mm-hmm. they pick out of that lottery who's going to be on the commission. And then they have rigorous requirements that makes it easy for citizens are not typically redistricting, so it makes it easy for them to follow it and make sure we have fair maps.
Do you think it's possible, like really possible, for us to end up with fair maps nationally in this country?
I definitely do, and I think that this, as I said, I think that this episode, this war that we've had of redistricting in the past few months, if something is going to trigger it, I would think it would be that, because it is a sort of one-sided in terms of who supported these efforts. It tells the Republicans that you could face harm from mm-hmm. to your political interests by engaging in this battle.
And as citizens, it's up to us to take the baton and to support efforts like this, to push for efforts like this.
Yes, call your member of Congress. It matters actually more than you think. Not a lot of folks call their representatives and the members of Congress, and they listen.
Yeah, they sure do, because they have to, especially right now as the tide is changing. Mark, I am so grateful to you. Thank you for taking time out of your crazy busy schedule, being all over the country, trying to make everything fair everywhere. I so, so appreciate you.
This is fun. Thank you, Kristen.
I've been talking with Mark Gaver. He's the senior director, the Fair Maps guy of redistricting for the Campaign Legal Center. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can always find it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Do not forget to like, share, and subscribe. We also want to hear your feedback, so DM me on any of the social platforms. It is so awesome to be in Chicago! Let us know how much you like the show and what you want to hear in the future. Many thanks to our wonderful and growing team, Abraham Lyerly, our producer, and so much more. Technical advisor Nick Tierman, who also composed our theme song, and graphic design by Nathaniel Gonzalez. On behalf of our whole team, I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, reminding you to take care of yourself and each other. We will see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.